The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Monday, where we chase the blues away. Because we're Christians who have a fantastic future ahead of us. Plus, we're either Red Wing or Dallas Star fans. So we chase the blues away. Get it? St. Louis Blues. Okay, for hockey fans, you would get that. First up, did you know that God has a proper tattoo? Yeah, we're going to talk about God's tattoo. That's right, I said it. Next up, it's like we have an ice cream sundae with fudge and a cherry on top to help us seize our eternal hope. And finally, everyone is looking for a good deal, but it's even better if it has a guarantee.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Now, how appropriate is that? Some of us are in a place where we feel like we got to survive. Some of us are feeling like a place where we got to, like, live. And some of us feel like we need to, like, start prevailing. So that all applies. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oive, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Tiara's right there. If the phone rings, she will snatch it, and then she will talk to you. And if you don't want to go on the air, you could probably tell her the answer, or you can wait and go on the air. Either way, that stuff doesn't bother me in the slightest. Let me at least do this to make the correction I forgot for Friday. I forgot to give the answer. I got so into the closing segment, I forgot to give the answer for the trivia that I had asked. So let me just give you the answer. The question was, even though he promised Jesus who would die for him, that he would die for him, what did Peter do when Jesus was arrested? And the answer was he denied that he knew Jesus three times after Jesus was arrested. So he said, I'll die for you. But then he ended up denying him three times. But fret not, because Jesus restored him three times. What? Remember those three questions? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He asked him three times. Get it? Aha! He asked three times about the restoration, bringing Peter back, because Peter denied him three times. See, the Lord never does anything by accident. You know? I mean, I'm sure that there are things that just kind of bang together, but God doesn't operate with his right-hand man, Mr. Coincidence. So let's at least get away from that. Let's offer up, though, our first trivia question. It's going to be rather easy because we don't do a lot of these, but I'm going to put a little caveat behind this one. True or false? Okay, so that's telling people right now. I got a 50-50 opportunity here. True or false, but I'm going to add something. The more words we say make our prayers better. And whatever answer you're going to give, try and give me a why. See, so it's not just true or false, although it's okay if you do text or just say true or false. That's fine. But the statement is, the more words we say, the better our prayer is. Is that true or false? And why? You see, why? See, I went with that one. Okay, any topic open for conversation, because that's the kind of show we are, because it's not professional radio, folks. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Couple things to encourage you in. Today is Best Friends Day. Okay, my best friend is Noelle, my wife. Yeah, it's not hard. It's been that way ever since we're just like two peas in a pot. just can't do it. But it's Best Friends Day, so if you have a best friend and you haven't sent a text to them or a shout-out or a call or an email, do so and say, hey, appreciate you. They would appreciate that. It's also Betty Picnic Day. And I had to look this up to figure out what is that. And that is you celebrate anybody named Betty. The problem for me is the only Betty I know is in the Archie comic books. So I don't know what to do. It's Jelly-Filled Donut Day, trying to somewhat take off on the donut day from last week. And it's Ups-a-Daisy Day. Now, Proverbs 24:16 says the godly may trip, seven times, but they will get up again. So the whole idea is even if you fall, you got to get up again, okay? And I'll give you a perfect example for those that want an example of life. In my own life, when I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, I took a couple of horse riding lessons. And you go around in the inside, because in Flagstaff, it snows 100 inches. So they have an indoor stable and so on and so forth. And if you fall off the horse like I did, because I fell off the horse. I told you I fell on my head. If you lie there, guess what? You're not just lying in mud. There's other stuff on the ground. So you have two choices. You can lie there, which doesn't smell very good, or you can get up and dust yourself off. Ups-a-daisy, folks. There's a reason for that to be there. Historically, this is a classic day. On this day, on June 8th in 1786, the first commercially produced ice cream appeared, and it was an ad that appeared in the New York Post Boy newspaper for the it was first commercially produced ice cream. You gotta like that. That's pretty good. Okay. 1949, the book 1984 by George Orwell was first published. If you've never read that and you are a Christian, it's a really good idea to read it because it really talks about excessive authoritative structure. And it's really important to understand that if you're in a church where your pastor or your leaders are dictating every move you make, that is not the idea that Jesus had here. Okay. It is not the you will do this, you will do this, you will do this. So it's good to know what's going on. Last but not least, my favorite actually, is this little thing. On 1951, back in the day, the shortest MLB, Major League Baseball player, his name was Edward Carl Goodell. He was an American baseball player. He was 3'7". He was a pinch hitter for the St. Louis Browns, making him the shortest player in Major League Baseball. He walked on four straight balls, his only time at bat. That's just like, where do you come up with this stuff? I don't know. That's kind of a weird thing. Okay, let's move on. For those that don't know, true or false, the more words we say, that makes our prayers better. If you know the answer, you're welcome to text us at 214-210-8483, or you're welcome to call us at 972-445-0770. Let's get to our first teach real quick. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16, the first half of the verse, talking about God having a tattoo. Oh, God don't have no tat. Yes, he does. Here's what he says. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. That is a tat. Inscribed is to chuck. It's chakak. Chakak in the Hebrew, and it means, watch this, to paint and or to engrave. Now, I'm not super wise on tats. My kids have tats. I don't have tats, but I know there's an engraving. I'm not that dumb. And the bottom line is I know there's some color, and I know there's some things. I might not know everything. And God has an inscription on the palm of his hand, and it's you. Now, we got all this stuff going on everywhere, and there's a lot of tensions up and down. I get it. And none of it's good, and in a sinful world, it never is good. That's kind of the whole point of having a Christian hope. But how comforting to think that God has you tattooed in the palm of his hand. Now, the palm is what they call the hollow or the flat of the hand. And that's in reference to being his kids. So with all the stuff going on and all the news that you hear and all the news that's true and not true, and then you just have to sit there and figure out what is true and what isn't true. With all that going on, here's one thing you can count on. God has you tattooed in his hand. Now, I am not a genius in many, many ways, but if I had a tattoo in the palm of my hand, I think I would see that like 500 times a day. That's what I would go with. I mean, how many times would you see your hand? You know, as you like, I talk with my hands, okay? If you ask Tiara, she'll tell you all about it, okay? So, and that's why doing it from the phone was so hard, because I only had one hand to talk to, so it was really tough. But I see my hands, like, all the time. I see my hands when I'm driving. I see my hands all the – and if I'm on tattooed in God's – the flat of his hand, the palm of his hand, he's seeing me. And you know what happens when you see something? You think about it. Now, how cool, how gracious, how kind, how thoughtful is God towards you and I that he would bother to make an inscription on the palm of his hand? Now, what we do have, of course, is imagery being communicated. It's not like God went to Frank's tattoo parlor, stuck his head, said, okay, just start blazing about a billion people on my hand. That's probably not what happened, so let's just kind of pull that back a step. But the idea that God is trying to communicate, think of this imagery, think of this picture, and this is specifically so we will think of this as a picture. It is specifically for that purpose, because a picture is worth so much more than just words. Because it has such a great communication, such a great ability. And here God is saying to you and to me, look, in the palm of my hand, your image is there. I see you. I know you. I'm aware of you. I think of you. I protect you. I care about you. I watch over you. And as soon as you put your hope in people or idols or things or money, or anything else beyond God, that's aside from God, you are going to be exceedingly disappointed, exceedingly bummed out, even if that hope is just in yourself, because we all fall short, but God doesn't fall short. That's why if you're a premillennialist, you're looking forward to a world where Jesus is ruling by authority over everything that's going on. There won't be any injustice there. There won't be any off things there. That ain't going to happen because he's in charge. And so you should think of it as the reigning Messiah. How cool is that picture? You're in the palm of his hand. Okay, the answer to the question, true or false, the more words we say makes our prayers better, it's false. And the main reason, for more than anything else, is God already knows what you need before you pray it. Aha! Good one. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, see that, how they rhymed? Okay. No, I didn't do that on purpose, but I did work out, and I was just telling Tiara, I am so sore. I will say this, okay, you can say whatever you want. There was a lot of really bad things that happened, like in the virus, everybody being locked down for 3 months and that whole process. But there was 2 things that I thought were rather okay out of the process. One, the traffic was less. I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything. I'm just saying it was less. I mean,
I agree.
I mean, come on. And then 2, I didn't have to go to the gym because he couldn't go to the gym, and now you can go to the gym, and I'm back at the gym, and ow. That's my comment.
I agree on that one, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, wow, what happened? 214-210-8483 is the text. You are welcome to text 972-445-0770. Here is the next trivia question. Let's see if you can get it. Here we go. All right. Now, this is a little tougher. It's going to take a little bit of thinking, and the only hint I'll give you is this is from the major prophets. If you remember what I said, minor prophets, maybe you have history. If you have the Torah, then you have history, then you have poetry, then you have major prophets and minor prophets. That's the breakdown of the Old Testament. Okay, here you go. Which prophet had to lay on his left side for 6 months? Which prophet, what was the name of the prophet, one of the major prophets, had to lay on his left side for 6 months? If you know the answer, 214-210-8483. For those of you that have no idea and you pick the major prophets, there's only 4, so you're like 25% chance. Or you can call in at 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. I will tell you, I'm careful to tell you this stuff, and I'm kind of aware of it, but we are at the 8th day in June. We are definitely behind from like the last week in May to this first week in June, a little bit behind in our giving. So if you're able to, great. We'd appreciate it. It'll advance the kingdom. We'll use it to pay the radio bill. That's our goal. If you're able to do that, you can go to hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org, and donate that way. Whatever amount is totally copacetic with you. If you can't do it, don't stress, don't strain, don't be guilty, okay? I don't need you to be extremely generous. I just need you to do the best you can. That's it. All right. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Like I did that? Extremely generous. David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now let's hear from our first ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services come from our very good friend Clint and the whole gang at Mr. Restore, one of our legendary ministry partners. Let me just offer it up a couple things. If you are in a situation where you have a church, an office building, an apartment, a home that needs to have restoration, these are the guys that you want to take care of it. Their emergency response is within 60 minutes on site. Family owned and operated, 50 years of restoration, and thousands of happy customers working with all the insurance companies. MrRestore.com. MrRestore.com. Also connected to them is the Adaptive Training Foundation, which we strongly support and encourage you to check it out. Just go into Google and type in Adaptive Training Foundation. You'll get all the information that you need straight from there. Okay. All right. Sorry. Trivia question that is on the board. Which prophet had to lay on his left side for 6 months? Just think about that. Anything for 6 months. It'd be long. I don't care what you say to me. That's a long time. All right, let's get into our next thing. This is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. A very fascinating portion. Not a lot of dispute, but there's people that pick one thing over another. I'll get into that in a second. Here's what it says. For men swear by something greater than themselves, and for them a confirming oath ends every dispute. Because God wanted to show his unchanging purpose even more clearly to the heirs of promise, the people that inherit the promise, he guaranteed it with an oath so that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope that is set before us. All right. This is the ice cream sundae, the fudge, and the cherry. Kind of what we're talking about. Okay? All right. Let's talk about this and breaking this down. So when we want to make some kind of oath or pledge, right? A lot of people will say this phrase. Don't get offended at it. It's just something that's in reality. People go, I swear to the Lord. I swear, right? And that's like the emphasis, right? Even though Jesus said pretty much say yes, yes, no, no. Anything more is really not the level you're really trying to reach to it. Just be sincere and just be honest. Don't be a phony. That would be fine. In the writing of Hebrew, what the author does is shows that God uses these two unchangeable things. Now, you got to think, well, what is unchangeable with God? Well, there's many things that are unchangeable with God. But the first thing it says is his unchangeable purpose. I know you're not going to want to hear this. If you're an Arminian theologian, you're going to hate me. I love you anyway. But God has a plan. What he has not done is revealed his plan to everybody. He has not revealed all the stuff that he's doing. If you look at Ephesians 1:4 and Ephesians 1:11, you get the idea that God has this plan that's going on that maybe nobody really fully understands. And the same thing is true not just corporately, not just nationwide, not just for the people of Israel, but for you individually. God has this plan. And this plan is not going to change. And you can say all you want to say and do all you want to do, but the plan of God is not going to change. So a good example of this would be Adam and Eve. The desire for God was for them not to rebel, but they did rebel, didn't they? And they said no to God. And God said, okay, all right, we're going to have to take this route. And it's not that he didn't know it. He already provided a plan to have redemption for mankind, even though man rebelled. So what God wanted to do in the garden in the fellowship with mankind will still happen. Why? Because that's what he wants to do. So that's not going to change. It's just the route to get there is not as quick as the route could have been if we'd have been a little sharper. Okay? So God's unchangeable purpose, not changing. Well, what if God wants to blow up the earth? Not changing. Sorry. It's not that he does. I'm saying if that's the purpose, that's his purpose isn't changing. But the great thing about God is his purposes are for our benefit. So you get a little bit of rest and a little bit of comfort there. And then, on top of his unchanging purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. In other words, he swore by himself. So instead of saying, "So help me God," on a judge's stand, God says, "So help me." So it's like God affirms that his oath is immovable and what he says is going to happen, and then his purpose is unchangeable, and what he says is going to happen and what he desires is going to happen. Other people think it's his promise versus his purpose. I don't care. Here's two unchangeable things where God is not going to change. He's got this great plan for you. He's got this, not the great plan for you to win the lotto. It's a great plan for your eternity. And these things, on top of that, so they got ice cream and fudge, and now you got the cherry. On top of those two things, that it's impossible. I mean, it's an unchanging purpose, and it's guaranteed with an oath. On top of those amazing things, it's also impossible for God to lie. And that's the cherry on top. And you're like going, well, wait. So he has an unchangeable purpose, and he guarantees it with an oath. And then on top of that, it's impossible for God to lie. And that's why all of us who have a hope that is set before us have a strong encouragement to seize that hope. Now, we want to make things better here on the planet. And I think sometimes we try and it works good. A lot of politics get involved in a lot of things, so it makes it really, you know, politics, poly, many, ticks, blood-sucking insects. That creates a lot of problems. But we want to make it better. But how about a new heavens and a new earth that are perfect, that God says, "I'm not going to let you mess this up, because this is mine." And it's going to be like streets of gold, and it's going to be pearls for the gates, and there's going to be greatness, and there's going to be no regret and no pain and no hurt and no sorrow, and all the tears will be wiped away. Yes, please. I'll take that. I'm going. I'm there. So this is what God is giving us to seize. And why he wants us to seize it is because even while we're here trying to make things as good as we can make them, he has foretold us that there is coming a time where that ain't going to work. And as it is, it's probably more truthful to say that God has helped us avoid blowing up this planet the 50 million times we probably could have blown it up than we would have blown it up. And the idea is that God is saying, you know, I'm holding out, in the sense that there's certain people that haven't called upon my name yet. I want them to get saved. I want them to be a part of my kingdom. But at some point, it's going to come crashing down. I'm going to have to come in, rescue the whole thing, change the whole thing, rearrange the whole thing, and give you a new heavens and a new earth. And that's the hope you seize to. Because that's a permanence. I was like, how cool is that? Yes. What's the argument? I want that. Do the best you can between now and then, but seize the hope. And don't let it go ever. Okay? All right. Answer to the trivia question, which prophet laid on his left side for 6 months? The answer was Ezekiel. And if you've read that book, you'd think, oh, that makes sense. That's all I got to say. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this: millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope, federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave. There's
no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I was just laughing with Tiara because you hear that drunk monkey story. Now, it's an older story, but the funny part about that $3.2 million is it's not like the monkeys got the money. See, this is the thing that the 0.2 went to the booze, and then the $3 million went to everybody doing the stuff. I mean, they were probably living large, right? I mean,
Sure.
I mean, you're $750,000. Get these monkeys drunk and let us know what you think. Okay, I'll take that job. I mean, come on, it's just unbelievable. Some of the things that we. I got nothing. Here we go. If you want to call in, you're welcome to 972-445-0770. You're also welcome to text 214-210-8483. Here's our next trivia question. What is the first line of the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6? I'm not going to tell you where to look. See. What is the first line in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6? You can text 214-210-8483. I'm in a rather good mood today. I think it's because I did work out, and then I went through my 2 hours of pouty afterwards, and I was pouting. I even had to talk to Noelle. She was like, stop that.
Now you got like the energy now. Huh?
Yeah, and now it's kind of coming back. This is going to go on for about 6 months. Anyway, and then you're also welcome to call us at 972-445-0770. Pretty straightforward. What is the first line of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6? There you go. Let's see. Website, hemustincrease.org. I actually looked for plans to put underneath the heading for where it says Battlestar, but I couldn't find any Battlestar plans, so I'm still looking. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our next ministry partner. That's Kimberly Ellis, our very, very good friend. Her and Tony, her wonderful husband, just a great couple in the Lord. And I really enjoy them. I really enjoy Tony, and I really enjoy Kimberly. They're just cool people. Fathom Realty, that's the company she works with, Fathom Realty. We know that that's a great company. I've actually talked to their owner before. So they're just really solid people. I don't know if he's the owner or the guy in charge of Texas, which I think is, I don't know. Anyway, he was one of those higher-uppers. Work with me. She works with first-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales. It doesn't matter if you have any questions, got anything going on, and you're like, I don't know if this is a good time to sell. I don't know if it's a good time to buy. I don't know if it's a good time to buy and sell or sell and buy or do whatever. Get in touch with Kimberly at 903-48-HOMES. That's 903-48-HOMES. And you think, well, why did she say Holmes for the end of that thing? Because you just spell that out on the phone, H-O-M-E-S. So you dial 903-48, and then you spell out H-O-M-E-S. Okay? For Kimberly Ellis. There you go. Props for her husband, and for their heart in the Lord. We appreciate that. Okay, so the trivia question is, what is the first line of the Lord's Prayer? In Matthew, from Matthew 6. If you can text 214-210-8483. You can also call in at 972-445-0770. I did it by heart. Yay. I didn't have to read that. All right. This is a really super duper theology cool teaching. I almost did my thesis on this. That'll tell you how much I consider this kind of stuff. And there's just... Oh, so Deb corrected me. Managing broker. The guy was the managing broker for Fathom Realty. I just got that. Okay. Whoops. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Here you go. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 says this. So Jesus also became the guarantee of a better covenant. Guarantee of a better covenant. Okay. Now, I am... just talking to you in practical terms. If Jesus has become the guarantee, now guarantee is, you know, it's guaranteed. You got 30-day money-back guarantee is what we think of. And then you always think, oh, it's so hard because putting the stuff back and getting your money back is really hard. But that's not the kind of guarantee we're talking about. We're talking about bought by the blood of Jesus, guaranteed by the promise, the oath, and the unchanging purpose of God who cannot lie. Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. So I don't know why there's some people that really struggle with this, but you've got better, that would make that better than the the one prior. So, okay, here's what you get for dinner, Dave. You get 1.5 ounces of steak for $100. Or better, you get 100 ounces of steak for $100. Like, yeah, that's better. I want that one. So it's like it's better. It's not brain surgery. This is a better agreement. A covenant, by the way, is an agreement. It is a testament. It is it's a little beyond a contract. A contract's just written out and people sign it. A covenant is this general agreement. It's almost sometimes written in societal ways, like a covenant that a parent has with a child to take care of the child. It's this kind of thing that you have to respond to because it's your responsibility to both as a parent and a child. So Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant, and it says in verse 19 of Hebrews, for the law perfected nothing. So the Old Testament law is not as good as the New Testament grace. You can fight about it all you want. God makes his declaration clear, makes it even more specifically clear on the Mount of Transfiguration, where you have Moses and Elijah who are appearing, Jesus who's there, and God the Father who says, this is my son, listen to him, and his word then takes precedent over Moses and Elijah, who were the law and the prophets. Listen, that's not hard. The cool thing about the Mount of Transfiguration is it was a bright light, brighter than anybody had ever seen. That should freak you out. Because what does that mean? It's like, was that like pure energy or what was that? Okay, because it was so bright they couldn't even look. And number two, how did they know who Moses and Elijah were? That's the indicator that you're going to know people when you get up to heaven because they didn't have a picture of Elijah. It's not like they had a wallet, a 2x2 in their wallet. Right? But they knew instantly. So that's kind of a cool thing. Get into that. But we have a better covenant, a better testament. And the question is, why? Why is it better? There has to be a reason. And there's a reason that you won't believe. It's just the coolest reason. It's because you and I are hardly involved at all. That's why it's better. That's what makes it better. You think, well, how can that be better? It's simple. In Hebrews 8:8, it says, but finding fault with his people, he says, look, the days are coming, says the Lord, while I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Why? Because the first covenant had fault citation with our side. God made a covenant between Israel and him. God made a covenant between his people and him. God held up his bargain. God held up his end. Guess who didn't? That's right. That's right. The children of Israel went, oops, we blew it. And so the old covenant needed a new covenant, a better covenant, one that wouldn't be dependent on you and I, because you can say all you want, and you know between you, me, and God, that between God and your reliability, I should be counting on God and not yours, right? So this time, God took it to another level. And you think, well, how did he take it to another level by having Jesus as the core of this second covenant? I'm going to tell you right now. God covers both sides through Jesus. And by the way, Hebrews 10:16 says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. So God says, we're going to have a new covenant. I'm going to write my stuff into your heart. I'm going to write my stuff into your mind. And the question is, how does God write his laws? How does God write his heart? How does God write these things into our hearts and minds? How does he put them in us? And the answer is, ready? This is so cool. Through the Holy Spirit, who teaches us the Word of God, who could only come once Christ resurrected. So the new covenant established on the blood of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ, and the descent of the Spirit, because it's only through the Holy Spirit that the laws can be written on your mind and on your hearts. Is that cool or what? And that's why the new covenant is more based in God than you, because it's God and then you, but the Holy Spirit living in you. And so it's God kind of coordinating your side and God keeping his side, and then the covenant happens. Like, what? That's such deep thinking. Well, it is Monday. What's the problem with that? The idea is to understand that the old covenant, which was supposed to be our responsibility and God's responsibility, showed in all clarity that we cannot handle our responsibility very well. So what God did was partner with us in such a way that God lives inside of us to help us get in the new covenant to where we're supposed to get to in engaging with God. So on the first covenant, he was on one side. On the second covenant, he's on both sides, inside of you, bringing you to the right place with him. Like, wow. And only that could have only happened through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, because the Spirit couldn't be poured out until there was justification established between God and man. It's like, okay, got it. And we try to make it really complex, and I appreciate that we try to make it really complex, but it doesn't help. And the answer is God covers the covenant both from the left and right side, both from his side and our side, through the Holy Spirit given by Jesus Christ, through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's a better covenant, because it doesn't just depend on us. Yay. Got it? All right, that's your theology for the day. What's the first line of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6? Our Father who is in heaven. By the way, it doesn't say my Father. He says our Father. Let that be a lesson right there. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. He's the heart. Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com. Back to normal like you were before.
If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind.
And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to remind you, if you want to reach us, 214-210-8483. That's the text. Our phone number, 972-445-0770. You're always welcome to call and just say howdy. Tara will talk to you. Say, hey, what's going on? Anything that you want somebody to call you and tell you, like any specials or anything, any kind of restaurant specials?
Just
or,
say, you know, hey.
Hey?
Hey, T.
Hey, T. I like that. Hey, T. Is that what your friends say to you? Hey, T. Like,
pretty much,
yeah. They call you T?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because they don't, Tierra is too long? I'm asking, is it just like say, hey,
honestly,
T?
Honestly, I have no idea. Sometimes a lot of them will either kind of get it mixed up because it's originally Tierra, but they'll call me Tiara. But I don't mind, and I'll just tell them, you know, just call me T. And I think it's much simpler.
Okay. You know, people call me Spoon. Instead of like David, they call me Spoon.
I like your last name. I would call you Spoon, too.
Yeah. I have been called Stone before. I have been called Stoned before, and a few other things that I cannot say on the air, or we'll get a fine.
Uh-oh.
Right, so, yeah, so just, we'll just move on from there. If you want to reach out to us, you're welcome to 214-210-8483. Our number, 972-445-0770. You can always call and say hi to T. Ha! Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Google just notified me somebody tried to break into one of our old email accounts, like from years ago. It's like, okay, pay my bills. That's all I got to say. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now let's hear from our next ministry partner.
Well, we're moving on now.
Men of God Moving and our very good friend Johnny Hill. He just had a new post on Facebook today. If you want to reach out to Johnny, menofgodmoving.com. Don't forget, you can always go to hemustincrease.org and connect to Johnny if you're a person that's moving. So this is what, like the 8th. So a lot of people move either in the middle of the month or at the end or very beginning of the month. You got a move coming up at the end of this month and you're still looking for a mover. Get in touch with Johnny and he'll give you a tremendous discount if you mention the David Spoon Experience. Which is like, cool. I mean, that's awesome. What I really like about the music is Noelle and I just watched this 70s retro show on the last half of the 70s, the 10 best sitcoms, and Jefferson's was number two. So they're playing this song, and I'm like, we play this almost every day. That's what my worry, the way my wife looks at me. All right, let's get into the last segment right here. This is out of Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 through 14. Before anybody reads into this, there is nothing subtle or not subtle in what I'm about to share with you. There is nothing directly dealing with some of the crises that we're going through as a country. We're not going through. This all has to do with how you respond to God. Okay? I cannot possibly make that any clearer. I don't think I can. Here's what it says. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." First thing Mordecai says is, do not imagine because you're in a really cool place that nothing bad will happen to you and that you're just going to escape if you remain silent. Now, if you're going to take that and use it in a social context and you feel the Holy Spirit applies that to you, I support you. But what this remaining silence is sticking up for the people of God. And what does happen, unfortunately, is anybody who sticks up for Christians, and most assuredly for Jewish people, takes a lot of grief. And it's like Mordecai says, you know what? Deliverance is going to come because God is going to bring it. And I will tell you just right now, I don't care if deliverance comes in the form of a rapture. Personally, I would prefer that. Personally, I hope that's exactly how it breaks down. I hope the premillennial dispensationalists are right. I hope we hear a trumpet in 1 second, and then the next millisecond, we're with Jesus. And in fact, I hope that happens before I finish the sentence. But if it doesn't happen, guess what? I'm going to be prepared to be used by God in any way, shape, or form. And then Mordecai says something that's amazing. And this is where it does have maybe a little bit more application. And it says, and who knows whether you've not attained royalty for such a time as this. Whatever position is that God has put you in or wherever God has put you in, most assuredly you know the passage that said, blessed are the peacemakers. For, you know, I know you know that from the Beatitudes. And I know that you know that if you're in a position to help peace or bring peace, you ought to. Right? And you ought to not be afraid to bring peace. And one of the things that's really important is for you and I to be willing to recognize that God puts us in places at times for purposes. So I'm gonna be real careful on how I say what I'm gonna say because I can't give out any names or anything like that because I'm not allowed to. But I will tell you that my wonderful wife, in her position, has had a chance to talk to various people in her realm of, what's the word I'm looking for? In her realm of co-grocery store managers and co-workers. And somebody recently in that realm made a decision for Jesus Christ, and they went to my wife for assurance of faith. And God had put her in that position for that purpose. And so she communicated and told that person, not that everything in faith is perfect, but that the faith is genuine and the walk is outrageously cool. But she was put in that position for a reason. And there is a reason that God has you attained to places and me attained to places. There's a reason why the owner of the radio station attains to places and has influences, and that Jennifer and Tierra, or T, are in places, because that's what God designs. And we are to take advantage of that in the context of if there's an opportunity, there's a purpose, there's a reason behind it, and we ought to be prepared. Remember our DNA whole process, that whole DNA thing? A lot of people are like, ho, 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 funny DNA, DNA. But keep in mind what it says. Draw closer to the Lord. That's the D. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. Always be ready for what? For the Lord. To speak on behalf of his people. To speak on behalf of his name. Now, you've got a lot of prophets in society right now. And a prophet is anybody that speaks. Proclamation making is a person who's a prophet. But you are called to a position of a prophet as a child of the Most High God, a spokesperson of God. And he expects his children, who are also his prophets, he expects them to speak. He expects them to speak on behalf of him. And it's funny because God may have put you in a very position just so you will. That doesn't mean you pull out a bullhorn. Now, I've been to a park, by the way, where somebody pulled out a bullhorn and they were screaming about, "You repent, all you sinners." The only problem is that the whole park was occupied by church people who were having a church picnic. Sometimes you got to be a little bit led and maybe a little less, you know, dead in the spirit kind of thing. But the idea that I'm trying to communicate to you is God opens up opportunities, you attain to positions, and there are reasons for it. Your mouth should be in concert with God's design and desires. And maybe the only kind word or the only right word or the only word of life that a person may hear may come from you. And if you were that person, here's the whole love your neighbor as you love yourself thing. Wouldn't you want somebody to speak the very words in the heart of God to you? Right? Okay. Keep in mind, by the way, God is a God of life. So the speaking often follows that pattern. Okay? All right. Okay, it's Monday. You got to get yourself revved up. Stop doing the blues thing. Get yourself up. Get yourself going. Move yourself forward in the kingdom of God. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Spoonanity. See you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.